Well, it's good to see all of your faces from what I can see through the lights here. Glad to see you, students. How are we doing this morning? Awesome. Well, I have the privilege to introduce our chapel speaker this morning, and that is Reverend Al Curley III. Reverend Al Curley III, or better known as Pastor Al, is a native of Long Island, New York. So from up north, there we go. Hope y'all are excited for a little northerner speech this morning. I'm ready for it. He currently oversees various ministries as he develops as executive pastor at the Cornerstone Church of Arlington, Texas. Al is married to the beautiful Mrs. Brianna Cheyenne and is the father of Albert IV and his son Bryce. He received his Bachelor of Science degree in history from the State University of New York at Old Westbury and his Master of Divinity with a certificate in preaching from Princeton Theological Seminary. Currently, he is pursuing a Doctor of Ministry degree with a concentration in homiletics and intergenerational church health at Baylor University's Truett Theological Seminary. During his free time, you can find him cheering on the Baltimore Ravens. You're in Dallas territory, watch out. Watching home renovation shows, I love a good home renovation show, or being a butler to his wife and sons, I love that. He strives to promote the good news of Christ to all generations in a way that impacts not only the soul, but the very course of one's life. Not only that, he also seeks to impact communities needing love and support, that they may thrive and create infrastructure for the success of future generations. It is his prayer that God is pleased with his service and people can see the love of God and also the love that he has for others. Please welcome Pastor Al Curley.
Good morning, Criswell. How are you guys doing today? Oh, man, we can do a lot better than that. Good morning, Criswell. How are we doing today? We're almost there. Let me try one more time. Good morning, Criswell. How are we doing today? Now, why did we have to have three tries to get there? I know you guys had it in you the whole time. Anyway, good morning. I am so excited to be here with you guys. This is such a wonderful opportunity, and I do not take it lightly or for granted. I think that this is an amazing place to grow. I think it's an amazing place to learn. And you have such a phenomenal team here. And so I just want to shout a few people out. Noemi, she was so great in making sure that I knew everything that I needed to do to be prepared as I was going to be with you all today. Luis extended a gracious invitation to me, so I'm grateful to him. He's famous. He's pretty popular around. And so I'm so sad that he's not here today, but here's what I want y'all to do. Help me out. When you see him next, as many of you as possible, I want you to just say, hey, Pastor Al asked about you. Just as many of you, I want us to get on his nerves with this, all right? So when he gets back, as many of you as possible, hey, Pastor Al asked about you, all right? Can y'all do that for me? Okay, cool. And Dr. Creamer, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And to this phenomenal staff and team, Rowan, thank you so much for greeting me at the door. It's good to see you again. I'm just excited to be able to share in the Word of God with you today because I think that all of us are called to do something phenomenal for the kingdom of God. And the sooner and the better and the deeper that we understand that, the more impactful we are able to be and the more useful we are able to be as tools in the hand of God. Do we believe that today? That as we grow deeper in our understanding of who it is that God has called us to be, we can be better used in the hand of God for the kingdom of God in the world. And there's this guy in the book of Judges chapter 6, which is where I want to hang out today for a few minutes. There's this guy in the book of Judges chapter 6 by the name of Gideon, and there's something going on in his life. There's something going on in his world, actually, that makes his call a very unique call. And so as we're journeying to Judges 6 today, I want you to be thinking about what God might be sending you to do in the world in the situations that you live in. God, thank you so much for our time in your word together today. I pray that you would help me to say the right thing the right way, that we might in turn learn the riches and the truths of your word, that our lives might be a reflection of your design purpose for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 6, I want to begin our reading today in verse 11. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. This is what it says, that an angel of the Lord came, sat under the oak tree, belonged to Joash, Bezerite. His son, Gideon, was threshing wheat in the winepress. The reason why he's doing this, it says, is to hide it from the Midianites. And then the angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us, handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you." Then he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's family." Verse 16, "But I will be with you," the Lord said to him. "You will strike Midian down as if it were one man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to talk for a few moments from this subject. I am sending you. I think there is something sin-worthy about you. There are an estimated 1.3 million people in Dallas, an estimated 6.65 million people in the Metroplex, an estimated 31 million people in Texas, and an estimated 346 million people in the U.S., and an estimated 8.2 billion people in the world. Yet, God is sending you. Across this campus that spans 6 undergraduate degrees, 4 graduate degrees, spanning leadership, biblical studies, and the like, there is you. Why? For what? For some of us in this room, we are clear on the answer. Maybe, like me, you had to draft a call statement to get into your program. And while I don't remember everything Reverend Janine Salas said to me in my admissions interview, to get into seminary, I thought was a stretch in the first place, I do remember her affirmation of God's sending of me. Wow. Princeton. They believe that God is sending me? Do I believe that God is sending me? Why? For what? These questions can be daunting. They can be debilitating. They can be paralyzing even. But I believe this text of Judges 6 shows us how God really is intentional about how God sends with no qualifier necessary other than the fact that is what God has chosen to do. This text teaches that God's deliverance and plan can and will come to fruition through vessels selected by God's sovereignty. It's my prayer, friends, that at the conclusion of our time in this text together, that you are encouraged to continue in your pursuit of the God who is sending you and yield to the sending of the God who is pursuing you. Here's my main thought. Here's what I call the big idea. God's sovereign selections are sent to become God's sovereign solutions. I know it's maybe still early on a Tuesday, so I'll say it again. God's sovereign selections are sent to become God's sovereign solutions. But sometimes the sovereign selection sent to be the solution has some questions. Have you ever had some questions for God? He's got some questions, and a couple questions I want to raise to you that we can explore with Gideon, and I think we'll have a good understanding of this text. The first thing that he questions about this sovereign selection is God's presence because of his predicament. I mean, in verse 13, he says, "Please, my Lord, if you are with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." Because you see, he's in a very difficult predicament. He's in a problematic place. He's in a hard place in which his people are overwhelmed, overcome, oppressed by the Midianites. Now, if you know anything about Judges, you know that Judges contains these cycles. Cycles in which God commands his people to live a specific way, and then they choose not to live that way, in which God sends judgment, maybe through an outside nation, sending the people into oppression, needing deliverance. They cry out for deliverance. Deliverance comes through a sovereign selection. Everything is cool until they're ready to start the cycle all over again. And they're in that cycle, in the place where things are not so comfortable for the Israelites. And the sovereign selection is selected, but he's got a problem with the selection. He's like, if God is with us, why are we experiencing what we are experiencing? Now, it makes sense that he's questioning God in this way, because when the Lord approaches him, the Lord says in verse 12, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Now, I've got a problem with the text, and I'm sure Gideon does too, because he says, "What do you mean, valiant warrior, when I'm threshing wheat in the winepress because I'm trying to hide from the Midianites? You are calling me something that I am not, or at least have not been." It can be difficult to understand who God is making you into when you have not experienced it before, and you might not even be experiencing it right now. I mean, how can I be a mighty warrior when I haven't been one in the past? And some of you sitting in this room today are asking yourselves the question, how can I excel in school when I am the first one to go to college? How can I break the cycle of poverty in my family when all I see is bad spending habits and socioeconomic disparities? How can I be what God calls me to be in the future when I've never seen God call me to be this in the past? But I'm reminded of Joel 3:10, where he says, "Let the weak say that I'm strong." The encouragement to you and to me today, friends, is that while we may not be experiencing the present call of God in the present season of our life, if God calls it for us, it is who we are. That if God calls us strong, even when we're feeling weak, then we are strong. If God says that we are wealthy, even when we are feeling impoverished, we are wealthy. If God says that we are abundant in intelligence and we are able and we are capable to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if we are feeling timid and there is an intense lack of boldness in our hearts, if God says it, as we say in our church back home, if God said it, then that settles it. There is no reason to go back and forth with Almighty God when Almighty God has already deemed you worthy and necessary of the call of the kingdom. God says to Gideon, and God says to you, as God says to me, I am sending you. But look at verse 13 again. He says, all this stuff is happening. Where are the wonders that our fathers told us about? The stories were passed down, but the stories passed down were not his present experience. Have you ever been at a place where the circumstances around you made you question whether God was with you, or question the stories your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents told you about this God? I mean, if you grew up like me, you've heard he's a waymaker. You heard he's a bridge over troubled water. You heard he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. You heard he's a shelter in the time of storm. You heard that he's a friend to the friendless, a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. You heard all these great things about God, and yet you get to a season in your life where you're like, Mom, were you tripping? Dad, were you lying? Because the God that you have described to me down through the years is not the God that I'm experiencing now. That's what Gideon says. He says, I've heard about God. But that God that I've heard about seemingly has abandoned us. Have you been there? Maybe some of you consider church history today, particularly in the Middle Ages, all the invasions of the Germanic tribes in the 400s. Maybe you consider the capture of Rome in the year 410 that left Christians believing that the end of the world was near and that God was abandoning them and that God was punishing them for their sins. There was crisis and there was chaos. But years later, in the 700s, we see that the church still survives and Christianity still survives. And if God can call Gideon through his low self-esteem, and if God can preserve Christianity through Germanic invasion, surely God can call you after a global pandemic. Surely God can use you in the midst of a tense election cycle. Because predicaments don't get in the way of God's plan. That God's plan has a way of pushing through prickly predicaments. He questions God's presence because of his predicament, but he also questions God's call because of his clan. This is in verse 15. He's like, listen, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in that family. See the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh, one of the 12 tribes of Israel that in biblical times it constitutes the people of Israel. This tribe is named after the elder son of Joseph. And after the exodus of Egypt and the death of Moses, the Israelites entered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, who assigned a territory to each of these tribes. And the tribe Manasseh settled in central Palestine, some to the east, some to the west of the Jordan River. Manasseh is not a bad tribe. It's not a horrible tribe. Manasseh itself is not the problem in the text. It's his status in his family. He says, we're the weakest, but I'm the youngest of the weakest. In James Kugel's How to Read the Bible, he notes that in the book of Judges, none of these leaders that we see have any prior claim to rule. They didn't come from dominant families or rise through the ranks to take over. Instead, their rise to power was created by crisis. And when the crisis arose, they emerged. And when they emerged, it was as if they were the perfect one for the task. Max Weber calls them charismatic leaders. And I've got a funny feeling that there are some charismatic leaders in this room. I've got a feeling that among those of you seated in this room, there's somebody next to you. There's somebody in front of you. There's somebody seated behind you. There's somebody that you're in class with. There's somebody that you might live next to that is a charismatic leader. Now, the issue with being a charismatic leader is that sometimes charismatic leaders arise, they emerge, they evolve in the middle of crisis. But crisis does not disqualify us from our emerging. It does not disqualify us from our call of being charismatic leaders. But I think as well as there are charismatic leaders in this room, there are some people in this room that associate and ascribe to the emotions of Gideon to say, I know what it's like to have heard the rhetoric of my clan. I know what it's like to have heard that my family is the weakest in the tribe. I know what it's like to feel insignificant because I'm the youngest in the weakest. And some of us have been heartbroken by the rhetoric distributed by about our clan. So some of us have heard that our clans are responsible for bringing drugs and violence into this country. Some of us have heard that our clans don't have a history of graduating and that our educational and economic ceiling is low. Some of us have heard that our clans have spewed racism and so it is embedded in us and continued through us. We have experiences personally, locally, communally, nationally, and globally, a crisis. And the question becomes, are we the charismatic leaders to emerge as the command of Almighty God? I've had some conversations with some charismatic leaders. I've spoken to Dom, who serves his church, and he recognizes that the areas in which we're situated now creates this cushion of Christianity for us where it's popular. It might be easier for us to be a Christian, but I know that where I'm from back in New York, it's not as easy to be a Christian. In a few hours, even from where we're sitting, it's not as easy to be a Christian. I know that we go to a Christian school and we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but there are many places around where you are. There are many conversations of people in your sphere of influence that recognize it's not easy to be a Christian. And as we see the rise of the religious among us, we know statistically that being a Christian is not easy, and it's becoming decreasingly popular. I've had conversations with people like Paula, who has made a decision to serve at her high-level church under her high-level leader, even though life does not always present a crystal stair for her. And these are leaders that are among you. They are seated out in the seats with you right now. You don't have to search far and wide for these charismatic leaders. They live with you, they eat with you, they study with you, they grow with you, and guess what? You are one of those charismatic leaders. And yes, maybe what Gideon is saying about his clan is true, that they might be the weakest. Yes, what Gideon is saying about himself being the youngest is true. And maybe what you've heard about your clan might have some truth to it as well. But here is the caveat that changes the course or the direction of everything that he said that might be true. Here it is. God says to him, I will be with you. Maybe that's what you needed to hear today. Because you're like, yo, Pastor Al, everything that they say about me is true. Everything that you heard about my people is true. But here's what I want to ask you. Is it true that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Is it also true that God says, I will be with you? Is it also true that God says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you? And my response to you is, if what I have said to you is true, then all those other things don't matter. Because while those things may or may not be true, what I've said about God is true. While Gideon only needed to go back a little while in his family tree to realize that You know, he's a descendant of Joseph, who was thrown in the pit by his brother, sold into slavery, and then his boss's wife lies on him, that gets him into prison. He's forgotten into prison, but at the appointed time, he is remembered and is elevated to second in command only to Pharaoh in Egypt, which is a global superpower at the time. Gideon is concerned about his tribe and is concerned about his status in his family, but does not realize that somewhere in the family tree, God has done something miraculous. And I wonder, if you just peel back the layers of your family tree, would you see the miracles that God has done in your life, in the lives of your family members? And maybe you're saying, I've gone back as far as I can imagine, and I don't see it there. Well, I tell you to go back to Genesis 1:1, where God creates the heavens and the earth. I tell you to go to Genesis 2, where God creates man and he breathes the breath of life into him. And he says, it is very good, giving him dominion over the earth. That is the lineage in which you come from. And while it is fallen, while it is sin-stained, Jesus Christ has already paid the price for that. He says, I am sending you. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the people you'll see. Oh, the conversations you will encounter on your journey to destiny, being who God has called you to be as God is sending you. It is my prayer for you today, friends, that you would yield to the power, that you would yield to the calling of the Almighty God that says that it does not matter what you got on that last test. It does not matter what your GPA was last semester. This is an opportunity for you to stand up in the middle of a crisis situation, in the middle of a crisis culture, and realize that I am sending you. Why? For what? I think God is sending you because God is not done speaking. I think God is sending you because God is not done working. I think God is sending you because God is not done moving. And what would it look like for God to speak through you, for God to work through you, for God to move through you? That there's somebody on the other side of your yielding to his sovereign selection. There's somebody's life transformation that is awaiting you to say, yes, God, I know that it hasn't been easy. I know that it's been hard. I know that it's been rough, but I also know that you are real and I know that you are with me. Gideon says, I've got a problem, God, because my situation is hard. Says, I'll be with you. I got a problem, God, because my family and my status in that family is not the greatest. He says, I'm sending you. My brother, my sister, God will be with you. And God is sending you. So God, it is my prayer for my brothers and my sisters today that you would reveal yourself in a greater way, even in this season. That as they have friends and relatives that have succumbed to the narratives of their circumstance, whatever they've heard from outside opinions and voices, God, you are rising up charismatic leaders, even at Criswell, through their administration, their faculty, the staff, professors, all those who are here, you are rising up trainers and developers of world changers. And I pray, God, that you would give us the revelation and that you would give us the boldness to receive the revelation and to live it out, that we might be who you have called us to be. And when we feel weak, we hear you telling us we're strong. When we feel less than enough, we feel you saying that we are more than enough, because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you so much, Pastor Ralph, for blessing us with God's word this morning. Can I get an amen if you were blessed by God's word? Amen. Amen. All right, just have one announcement really fast. Who's excited for the volleyball game for staff versus students? Yeah? Yeah, who do we think is going to win? Staff, students, I think it's a little mixed. I don't know. Well, I am excited. I know we're all excited. Quick announcement about that. It has been promoted that it is this Thursday, but it's not. It was moved to October 31st is the new date. Okay, so I know we have to wait a little bit longer to see who's going to win, but it's okay. It's going to be all right. We will get there eventually. So October 31st is the new date. I just wanted to let us all know really fast because it was promoted that it was going to be this Thursday, but it's not. Okay. Alrighty. Well, God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Yes, Thursday there is going to be Thrive, and I did send an email about that. So you can sign up for Thrive this Thursday. It is going to be our drug and alcohol event, and we will have pizza and drinks available. So sign up if you want to attend. Thank you. You're dismissed.